Nancy, Mary Jo, thanks first of all to both of you for taking time out of a busy schedule and joining us to do this interview.
Nice to be with you. Yes.
Let me ask both of you first of all, in this time, which are unprecedented times, how important is it to stay healthy mentally?
Well, I think one's mental health is always of primary importance, and I think it's being highlighted right now only because of the fact that how much we're realizing that in order to cope with these unprecedented times, we do need our ability to continue to remain functioning on a daily basis. There isn't any choice during these times.
It's not unusual, am I correct? It's not unusual to feel stressed or confused or even scared during a crisis such as this.
Absolutely not. And I think, Mary Jo and I were talking prior to the interview, and she made a good point. She said it's about how these uncertain times are impacting everybody on a very different level. So people might have a range of emotions, anywhere from fear to anxiety to there's a level of almost contentment because they get to be at home with family or friends or and reaching out to people. So I think it's important for our communities to not place one feeling on individuals as we're moving through this. And overall, it's about all of us moving to a place of being okay with the uncertainty. We have never been in a place of flux, not as individuals, not as communities, not as the world as we are right now. And moving to a place of just almost being okay with as things are coming on a daily basis is really the best place we can land.
I just think to kind of pick up on that, it is a range. So for some people, it's more mild impact. So it would be more just dealing with the boredom or maybe the irritation of being close to everyone without having space. And whereas for other people, it is that fear and it is what's going to happen down the road, what is going to be the new normal. And if you obsess too much on those futuristic thoughts, then that's what can sometimes lead to feelings of anxiety and you get more panic.
Mary Jo, you find yourself in a situation where you, your family are quarantined as well. You had a pre-advisory travel trip that finds you now under quarantine. How's it going?
Well, overall, we are doing well. We are starting day 10 of our self-isolation, and we're doing daily temperature checks, which thankfully we have no fevers to report. I have two boys as well, my husband and two children, ages 9 and 12. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge is my husband and I, we're currently working, but we're also trying to balance the demands of being parents at home. So finding time to just carve out time and space to do work, but also tending to your children's needs and making sure, they're getting their breakfast and maintaining some kind of routine so that the days don't just continue to blend into one another. I think maintaining a routine, getting up, making your beds, brushing your teeth, getting your shower, getting dressed, I think that's really, really important at this time.
There are so many questions that one could ask on what to do and where do you start. But I guess, what's some good advice? Do you talk to people that you know and you can trust in this time?
For me personally, and I, when this really, the news broke, I was glued to the news. I would be refreshing my computer feed constantly, seeing what the new statistics are, what the new numbers are. I would be looking provincially. I would be looking nationally. My brother lives in New Zealand. I would be checking out the statistics in New Zealand. And it really can, you have to watch that because it really can start to consume you. So I think it's really important to stay up to date and informed about, the current situation. But I also think you need to have balance with that as well.
Yeah, the World Health Organization actually advises that you listen to less news these days.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know, there's support out there that's available for people who are having a really difficult time. For instance, Family Service of Eastern Nova Scotia and so on. I'm sure your times are busier these days than ever before.
Yes, for sure. Our agency is always busy. The need for our services is always pretty profound across all the counties that we serve. And as an agency, we are fortunate that we are a not-for-profit agency, and so we can be pretty nimble. And we spent the first few days during this to transform our services in order to make sure that we were still going to be able to meet the needs of the families that we were servicing. So we work really, really closely with all of our government partners too. So each of the programs that our funders have funded, we are in the process of figuring out how to transform those programs to meet the not only what the World Health Organization and our local public health officials are saying that we need to do in order to keep our families that we serve safe and our staff, and of course our board of directors. So we are doing a lot of telephone support, and we're also doing some, depending on what program that we're involved in, we might be doing some resource delivery and trying to mobilize different telehealth platforms. We understand completely that for now the telephone support is what we were able to mobilize, but that as we continue through this unprecedented time, that people need to see each other face to face. So we're trying to mobilize some secure telehealth platforms where we can actually engage in face to face, not in the same room, but face to face interactions.
To add to what Nancy's saying, our agency also, it's not new to telephone based services. So even prior to COVID-19, several of our programs actually operated through the telephone. So we know that there's value. We know that we can support individuals using the telephone. And it's also less of a learning curve for our agency because we were already doing that with some of our programs anyway.
We serve such a huge rural population in Nova Scotia that access to physical office counseling is always been an issue for lots of our families. And so in a way, our agency, like Mary Jo said, was pretty positioned to be able to transform right now during this.
How important is it, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because to support others in your community, check in on neighbors and family and friends, how important is that to getting through this?
Well, Dave, I'd like to say that that's one of the silver linings, I think, that's coming out of this pandemic is the recognition and the enhanced recognition of the informal supports that exist and that need to exist in our community. So I think the past, prior to the world having this, being engaged in this pandemic, we were very focused on the formal supports and the structured supports. And now it's really the informal supports that are carrying a very large load. And by informal supports, I mean as simple as a store clerk, the smile that a store clerk gives from behind to a customer from behind that red line. All along, that smile was very important to certain people, or to many people. And now, at least, the world is recognizing that is that's a very helpful thing for a person's mental well-being. So there's been an enhanced recognition of our informal supports. And there's also been, I think, more of an intentional feeling from individuals and communities around their social interactions. So I've seen signs in people's houses. I've seen people be just gentle head nods as you're passing the appropriate distance in grocery stores. So we seem to be, as we've slowed down as communities and societies, we seem to be paying attention to the things that are really the most important.
Yeah, well said. And I think as Cape Bretoners and really as Maritimers, we've always had a strong sense of community. And so now it really is a time for us to shine and to show what that really means by doing just what you said, by helping out a neighbor or, you know, giving that smile or, you know, if there's, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't always have to be somebody that you're well acquainted with. If you know, of a single mom or dad who's in their home with young ones and you think that they may need support, now is the time to reach out and offer that support.
I noticed the other day in the grocery line at the grocery store for the first time ever, someone ahead of me, and the clerks were making sure that it was 6 feet ahead, but someone at the end of buying their groceries said to the clerk, thank you for your service.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We're seeing an enhanced level of humanity. I love the whole, this I saw on one of the Twitter feeds the other day from the United Nations, and it said COVID-19 is menacing the whole of humanity, and so the whole of humanity must fight back.
I also watched the World Health Organization update the other day, and the head of the World Health Organization had the line that I thought kind of made the most sense of all that I've heard so far, that compassion is a medicine.
Yeah, well said.
You can do all sorts of things. You can cut back on your social media and so on, and they also advise you start listening to music, especially on the radio, of course. But you can do all sorts.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's you know, you talk about social media, and it's true. Like, it, in some instances, social media can be a source of stress relief, but it also definitely can put undue pressure. You know, if you're going on and you're seeing these some people talking about how their homes have never been clean, or they're putting on these fantastic desserts or dinners that they've created, or talking about all the different strategies that they're doing for homeschooling, which is fantastic if you have the capacity and the energy at this point in time to do those things. But I think the message that families need to hear too is you just have to do your best. Some people think there might be like specific coping strategies for dealing with this. But the reality is it's the coping strategies that people have always used in times of difficulties and stressful situations. So it's kind of thinking back to other times where you've been, you know, you faced a challenge. And what have you done in those instances that has been helpful? That, and, you know, whether that's, you know, calling a friend, or whether that's exercising, or whether that's, you know, deep breathing or mindfulness, it's all of those types of things. And then for some people, it is, they need to do more. They need to reach out for more formal systems of support. But it's not like, oh, so this is the prescribed strategy to do for isolation.
Mary Jo, continue the healthy route with you and your family.
Thank you.
And hopefully you'll be out of isolation soon.
Well, it's interesting because I'm almost feeling like once our self-isolation is over, a lot is not going to change for us. I mean, I, the messaging that I'm getting and feeling is the most important thing to do is to continue to stay at home when you can, abide by the social distancing advice and our recommendations, and just keep busy as much as you can, and stay calm, because we know, we don't know when, but we know that this is going to pass at some point, and there will be some new normalcy in all of our lives.
Both of you, Mary Jo and Nancy, thank you very much for taking our call this morning and talking with us.
And thank you, Dave, for continuing to do what you do. It's important.